Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
And I would say to you that sometimes ministry is messy, and sometimes we just want to label people and be done with them. But today we see that we serve a Savior that was willing to help a guy who wasn't really that friendly, who wasn't really the person that others would have said is essential. But you see, to Jesus, everybody is essential.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reaching Forth Practically.
This morning we learned from God's Word that we want to be a church that is reaching forth, going forth. We stand looking ahead, asking God to work and to bless. Now, the Bible speaks about these athletic opportunities in the spiritual realm. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." In this life, we all must decide and determine, will I live only for the corruptible things or for the incorruptible? There's nothing wrong with going to the gym. There's nothing wrong with having, a muscular body. But I hate to tell you, that's a temporal thing. Nothing wrong with having something new and something nice, but all the things of this world are corruptible. But those things that are done for Jesus are incorruptible. And we're reaching forth for the incorruptible things. The National Football League is vying now for placement and hopefully into the Super Bowl and the College Football Championship, and all of these are worldly pursuits. And I want to tell you something tonight, that in heaven those things are not exciting. The angels yawn when it comes to the NFL Super Bowl. But when one soul is saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. I propose that we ought to then live our lives with eternity in mind. We ought to live our lives with what causes rejoicing in heaven. And I think all of us would agree that the spiritual goals matter more. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And certainly there's an application to salvation in that verse, but also to our spiritual well-being. What does it profit someone if in working all their overtime or if in accomplishing all these goals, they lose their heart for God? And so we want to reach forth, but we want to reach forth for that which is eternal. Now, how do we do that? Let me give you a few thoughts as Paul continues this challenge. First tonight, I believe as a church that we must share a common goal. That we share a common goal. Notice in verse 15, the Bible says, "Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." This goal, this challenge about reaching forth, this is for the saved tonight. This is for those of us that have been born again. It says, "As many as be as are perfect." That word "perfect" means finished or complete. And by the way, we are all complete in Jesus Christ. So he is saying that we together share this common goal, that we are the saved, and that our goal then is Christ likeness. Romans 8 and 29, being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ. And so this challenge that is being given here in Philippians 3, it's not just the power of positive thinking for unsaved people. It's not corporate training, but this is something specifically to those that are perfect, to those that are in Christ. It is for the saved. We share a common goal as saved people. All of us need to be reaching forth for the incorruptible crown of Jesus Christ, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is a challenge to the saved tonight, and hopefully that is all of us in this room. It is also a challenge for the future. You'll notice the Bible says, let us therefore, and whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you look to see what it's there for. You look to the previous verses. And he is speaking, of course, of verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And so our common goal is that we want to start well. We want to finish well. We want to keep Jesus in our hearts and minds. Hey, I don't think you're here on a Sunday night because you could care less. I think every Christian in this room ought to say tonight and believes in their heart tonight that we would like to be closer to Jesus 12 months from now than we are right now. Amen. It's a common goal. All of us should desire. And may I say that when memories of the past supersede our vision for the future, then our doom is nigh. It's one thing to say, I got saved and I was faithful back then. We've seen a lot of buildings built. We've seen a lot of lives changed. It's another thing to say, I'm reaching forth. I want to see another child saved. I want to see my child's life touched and changed. I want to see God work like he did in years gone by. And that's why our ministry path is so important. And it really reflects the fact that we're reaching forth because we want our worship to be reaching out for God and engaging for those that would visit our community groups to bring them into fellowship in the connection groups. And let this place continue to be a place of rest and fellowship for people who want to know God and encourage each other in the Lord. And so we move from worship to community to commitment or discipleship and service and outreach. And all of this says, everything that I've said tonight, is that we are a church reaching forth into the future and pressing toward Christ and wanting to know him and please him and live for him. And I said this morning, but I believe we ought to do this with great passion. Paul the Apostle used this phrase in verse number 14. He said, I press toward the mark. Would you say that with me? I press toward the mark. One more time. You say, well, I'm pressing for this amount of weight, and I'm pressing for this promotion, and I'm pressing for this college degree. But are you pressing to know Jesus Christ? Is it a passion in your heart? You say, well, I need to know why that's so important. As I said this morning, if you know the who, you'll know the why. Jesus is the who. And you'll want to know him more and draw closer to him. C.S. Lewis once wrote, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Have a heavenly mindset, pressing toward the mark. For the believer, we have been made perfect in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is complete. But this passage is not speaking merely about salvation. It's speaking about maturation. It's speaking about growth in the Lord. Wiersbe says Paul is not talking about salvation, but about sanctification, growth, and progress in the Christian life. He says, I want to continue growing. I want to know him more. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And what I'm saying is we have a common goal tonight, and we're all here with a goal of spiritual maturity and knowing Christ in a deeper way and loving Christ and falling in love with Christ in this year. And that ought to be our prayer, no matter our age or our station in life, that all of us would draw closer to Jesus. That's our common goal. But not only do we share a common goal, I want you to notice, secondly, we serve a convicting God. We serve a convicting God. Now, I want you to see something very interesting in verse 15. It says, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now, let's just stop right here. How many of you would say, Pastor, it would be a wonderful thing if every member of Lancaster Baptist Church, as many as are perfect in Jesus Christ, would be thus minded. In other words, that every member of this church was passionately pursuing Christ, that would be revival. That would be awesome. How many of you agree with me on that? Amen. Imagine that, thousands of people pursuing Christ. I mean, there are people here tonight checking their phone while I preach. Sometimes people can't get their heads up to look. They're disinterested. Their mind is controlled by social media, rock music, or who knows what else is going on. So what I'm saying is, to get thousands of people with a singular passion for Christ, that might take like a miracle. But how many of you would say it'd be a wonderful thing indeed? Amen. Now here's the dilemma. It does not always happen that way, and you'll notice it because you're human. You'll notice it because you attend a class and you might see someone's up or down. By the way, how many of you have noticed that it's easier to notice someone else's fault than it is your own fault? Sort of human nature, I guess. And that's why I want you to see this point. We serve a convicting God. Now, we share a common goal. We all want to grow closer to Christ. That should be our common goal. But what about when that doesn't happen? What about when someone doesn't pay attention, or someone has gone wayward, or somebody isn't living the way you think they should live? And let me just say this very quickly. Our greatest concern tonight should not be the other member in the church. Our greatest concern should be ourselves. Now, as a pastor, I think I have a calling and I have a burden that's broader in the sense of that calling. But even my number one concern is myself being right with God. That's why I mentioned earlier about the song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, and let us lift up and glorify you, because there are so many different pressures that can come even on a pastor, thinking about this, worrying about this. What does this one think? What does that one think? And sometimes I just have to say, time out, who cares? All I care about right now is that I am thoroughly right with God myself. Don't start this year with the idea of everybody ought to be thus minded. They ought to think the way I think about this verse and that verse and this position and that conviction and be that way. It would be a beautiful thing if that happens. And when we get to heaven, that's what it's going to be. But until then, I want to remind you of this principle. We serve a convicting God. Now notice what it says here. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So we see, first of all, that in the context of the local church, sometimes there are erring believers. They are otherwise minded. In other words, we may have the mind of Christ on something. The scripture might be clear on something, but then there's these people that are otherwise minded. They're not thinking about the sermon. They're thinking about something else that they want to do. And sometimes they'll try to spiritualize. Well, you know, I saw a hypocrite in the church, whatever. You'll hear all kinds of excuses. But the fact is, the fruit doesn't signify the growth. And so suddenly there might be someone that is otherwise minded in this context, meaning they're not minded, they're not mindful of following Christ passionately. They're more passionate about other stuff. That sometimes happens. When that happens, we can have a range of emotions. You could have the range of a broken heart. If it's your child, it would break your heart. You could have the emotion of a burdened heart. God forbid, you could have the emotion of a judgmental heart. But we have emotions and we have thoughts, and sometimes people say things. What I want you to see here is that when there is an erring believer, that there is also an engaging God who is not up in heaven, blind to all of it. He's very well aware. Oswald Sanders said, most Bible characters meet with failure and then survived. Even when the failure was immense, those who rebounded refused to lie in the dust and bemoan their tragedy. In fact, their failure and repentance led to a greater conception of God's grace. In other words, our prayer should be that when someone errs, when someone is otherwise minded, we should pray that they will become right with God, that they will be restored into fellowship. But we should also remember that when there is an erring member, there is an engaging God. So notice in verse 15, it says, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's say that together. God shall reveal even this unto you. You see. Now, this is very important because real conviction comes from God. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Real conviction. So when someone is erring, we get burdened, we get worried, we want to say something. Sometimes people might say something to a friend. We should not do that. It's called gossip. But when someone is erring, what the Bible says is that God will reveal that to them. Now, You as a wife can say something to your husband, or you as a church member say something to another church member, and from time to time it may be your place, maybe you're discipling them, maybe you're married to them, whatever the case might be. But the fact of the matter is that real, true conviction will always come from God. And normally what we do in a Pharisaical manner, whether we intend it or not, what we give is guilt. And what guilt does, it builds resentment and it drives people farther away. And that's kind of the dilemma of a pastor, because as a shepherd, sometimes when I see someone that is otherwise minded, the Lord will put on my heart, it's time to talk to them. Their spirit has changed. There's a difficulty. There's a problem in their life. And it's always risk-reward. The reward is if they say, Pastor, thanks for caring enough to talk to me. And you're right. And I've been having this struggle. And I go home and I say, praise God, a brother has been won. The risk is that someone says, get your hands off me. What are you trying to tell me what to do? You preachers think you rule the whole world and you're just trying to control my life. So it's a risk-reward thing. But the last thing that a parent, a pastor, anyone should want to do is to put guilt on someone when there is a far better way of having it dealt with, and that is when God deals with it. And I want you to remember that. Real conviction is from the Holy Spirit. John 16, 7 and 8, the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, why am I preaching this? Why would I share this message? I share it in part because we are ministering in a post-biblical era in America. We are not in an era when there are people that are coming into church and there's just this natural momentum or submissiveness or heart of people to say, what do I do next? And how can I grow in the Lord? And boy, that was great. And we are living in an era where people are slower in their trust of authority, much less believing the Bible to be the Word of God. We're living in an era where people are bringing tremendous amount of baggage. And sometimes, and I don't say this to be mean, but their decor and their mannerisms and their vocabulary and their life is very, very, very different, and sometimes they are otherwise minded, could I say it that way? But the point is that if they're on that path I spoke about a moment ago, and if they're beginning to learn how to worship, and they're getting into a community, and they're starting into discipleship, what they need at Lancaster Baptist Church is they need a church that will allow God to correct them while we love them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not speaking about sin. I'm not speaking about being patient with immorality or being patient with some kind of open sin. I'm not advocating to give license to a backsliding Christian and to say, oh, they're off into that. I guess it's okay. Go ahead and skip church and party and do all that. I'm not speaking about that type of a scenario, but I'm speaking about the fact that the fundamental sense of ministry should be this, that there is a God in heaven who can do a better job of changing your husband than you can. And there's a God in heaven who can help that new Christian. And if our job perception is that we are here to correct every single person that comes through the door, then we're going to hinder the opportunity that the Holy Spirit can have in changing someone's heart. And so we want to continually practice individual soul liberty. We want to recognize that every individual is at a different place. Now, I've taught that. It's one of the Baptist distinctives, individual soul liberty. It's in the Bible, Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Now, some of you have raised teenagers, and you know what I'm talking about. You can tell them how to dress. You can tell them what to do, and they'll say okay for a while, but there will come a point when if it was not in their heart to walk in a biblical fashion or according to the way you taught them, they're going to do it however they want. How much better is it to have a Daniel who purposes in his own heart to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now that's individual soul liberty. We read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles quickly to Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Because I just want to underscore quickly that as we enter into this year, we have a common goal, that's Christ. We have a correcting God who will take care of a lot of the problems and conviction that is needed in helping people to see if they're becoming a stumbling block or if they're thinking otherwise. But until then, we as a church need to understand Romans 14 and verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now let's just stop and think about this for a moment. That person that's thinking otherwise, you may have a unique role and maybe you should talk to them. But the truth of the matter is that all of us are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday. And that we need to be close, and we need to be careful, rather, regarding verse 10, judging a brother. We need to remember that they will stand before the Lord. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but let us judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And I don't have time to develop the whole concept of the stumbling block, but that stumbling block could be, yes, someone thinking otherwise. It could also be the way that we deal with someone thinking otherwise. But what I want us to realize is that our responsibility is not to be the Baptist police as much as it is to be the Baptist prayer warrior, and to recognize that there is a God in heaven who will convict hearts and touch hearts, and he will add to the church and he will remove from the church, and we need to let God be God, because we share a common goal. And our common goal is not to be the chief Pharisee. Our common goal is to say, Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me, standing in the need of revival. And as I'm doing that, I serve a convicting God, so that if the guy next to me is thinking otherwise, God can take care of that and deal with that in his own way and in his time. And so we ought to thank God for that, that he loves this church more than we do, and he will deal with needs as those needs arise. And yes, sometimes he'll call upon the under shepherd and he'll burden my heart. I understand that. But let's let Lancaster Baptist Church be a place where someone who's trying to figure it out, they're not being rebellious. They're not against God. They're not against the church. They're just growing. They don't understand that this is a place of health where they can grow into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember that everyone's at a different part of that ministry path. They're just growing at different areas and spaces and times along the way. So we share a common goal, and our goal is Jesus Christ. We serve a convicting God, so that when someone gets their eyes off of Jesus Christ, God, the Bible says in verse number 15, will reveal that unto them. Now, let me ask you a quick question. We're almost done. How many of you can say, there have been lots of times in my life when God revealed to me that I was thinking otherwise? How many of you? Lots of times in my life when God revealed to me. And how many of you would say this? It's very powerful when God reveals it to me as opposed to when my wife reveals it to me. Right? Now, I hope that you are giving me as your pastor some leeway and some inroad, and that I can be a helper, as Paul said, a helper of your joy. But there are people that won't even hear it from their pastor. But when God convicts your heart, don't you call that guilt. I've seen some people say, just putting a guilt trip on me. No. Don't you relabel God's loving conviction as guilt. When God's trying to get you to change in an area, be quick to follow his wonderful, loving voice. So we share a common goal. We serve a convicting God. And then notice finally, we study a convincing guide. Well, notice verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now, you've heard this before. The word rule speaks of the canon of Scripture. The Scripture was canonized. It was kept in the Ark of the Covenant, all the Old Testament books. The 27 books of the New Testament were added to the canon. It's called a rule, the rule of Scripture. It is our guide, and we are challenged to walk according to the same rule. As we think of the same rule, we recognize that to accomplish these spiritual goals, then daily we must be following the same spiritual guide. That is the Word of God. The Bible teaches us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we see the word rule, and we're reminded of the veracity of Scripture. The fact that the law was placed into the Ark of the Covenant with Aaron's law that budded.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.